Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I'm so excited you would spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey, and I'm excited about the Word today. We're continuing our series we've just called BC, A Journey Through the Old Testament, and we've been following the life of David. And so in order to track where we're headed today, I need to just start with a brief story. And so this was years ago, but I was playing for Team USA in the World Championships of hockey, and we were headed to a medal round. And the team was unbelievably like tense and uptight. And as we were on the bus ride over to the arena, our captain, a guy by the name of Eddie Olchek, he yells back to me because I was kind of the Jesus guy on the team. He says, "Ads," he says, "open up your Bible and read us one of those Psalms." So we are going to be in the book of Psalms. All right. Actually, it's called Psalms, and Psalms simply means a song. And we're going to actually read from a song of David, that David is going to be on the run from King Saul, and he's going to seek refuge in a cave called Adullam. And Adullam, it means a refuge, a hiding place. But it's in this hiding place that David is going to go from a place of sorrow to a place of strength. And he's going to do three things, and I think it's going to be helpful to us in our life. Number one is David is going to learn to get to Jesus. Number two, he's going to get perspective. And then number three, he's going to get on the offensive, and it's going to take him from the place of sorrow to the place of strength. And that's where we're headed here this morning. And so maybe I could just give you a brief background of the book of Psalms. Do you know that the book of Psalms, it was written over a span of some 900 years. There were several authors, but get this, our guy, King David, he was a prolific songwriter. In fact, he wrote almost half of the Psalms that we have in our Bible. So in the book of Psalms, there's roughly 150 Psalms, and David wrote 73 of them. And get this as well. Do you know, in the New Testament, there's no book quoted more than the Old Testament book of the book of Psalms. And I'll do you even one better. Jesus quoted the book of Psalms more than any other book of the Bible. And so this thing is incredible. And so I can even share, if you don't believe me, let me share what the great theologian Robbie Hart said, a.k.a. Adam Sandler or The Wedding Singer. All right. But I love this quote from the movie The Wedding Singer. And he says this. He says, "I think that's the hardest thing, to write a song. A song, you know, when people hear it, they go, oh, I know what that guy was feeling when he wrote that." And so listen, I want us to feel something today, right? And I know if you're a guy, a dude, you're like, oh no, I don't do feelings. Pump the brakes. It's going to be okay. All right. And so I hope, but I do want us to feel us, because that's what the book of Psalms has been designed to do, to help us resonate with what's going on the inside of our heart. In fact, I've heard it said like this, that the Psalms, they give voice to our soul. And so I just so love that quote. And so, but here's what you need to know. You have to come to the book of Psalms, approach it almost like you would the Hallmark card aisle, you know, in your grocery store or your pharmacy. They got all the Hallmark cards. But get this, you need to be aware of what genre of Hallmark card you're getting, don't you? Like, listen, if someone's lost a loved one, you don't send them a birthday card, right? At least I hope you don't. Or if you want to send somebody a thank you card and you wind up sending them a Valentine's card, how many know that's going to get weird really, really quick? And in the same way, if you don't understand which genre of the Psalms you're approaching, it's going to feel weird and off. And so I want us to be aware, because just like there's different genres of music for us today, the Psalms, there's different genres of Psalms. And so get this, there are things called Psalms of Lament. And roughly 70% of the Psalms that you read in your Bible, they are Psalms of lament. They're sad songs, right? Let me read to you Psalm 22 in verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? And I hope you remember this, that David penned that, but Jesus sang that song as he hung on Calvary's cross. The great Protestant theologian Martin Luther, he struggled and battled with melancholy and depression, but music it was the soothing tonic for his soul. And Luther said this. He says, next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. And so God is so good to us that he understands that tears and lament, it's critical to get kind of sorrow, this cancer of the soul, and get it out from us. And so Psalms of Lament are going to help us with that. And listen, we flock to these things even today. We have modern day Psalms, don't we? I'll give you one. I remember back in 2018, the smash hit, A Star Is Born. Did you see this one? If you didn't, shame on you, all right? And in this movie, A Star Is Born, we were just shocked to find out that Lady Gaga can act and Bradley Cooper can sing, right? Who knew? And so, but it was a powerful movie, and we see Jack and Allie in this tragic love affair, and their love was deep and sweet, but how many know that Jack, he was fatally flawed, and addiction got the best of him. Until at the very end of the movie, Jack, he takes his own life. And I remember just before the credits begin to roll, we see that Lady Gaga, that Allie, she steps up and she's going to sing their song. And it's a song of lament. And I can still just recall being in the theater. And you remember, she just steps up to that microphone and you just hear the piano going, dun, dun. Dun, dun. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry. And then she belts out, I wish I could have said goodbye. That's all I'll sing for you this morning, okay? But man, I remember I just broke out crying, and what? We were all moved to tears. And why? It was a psalm of lament. We resonated with Jack and Allie in that moment. Get this, there's psalms of thanksgiving and praise. And so these are the pump up jams. And so I don't know what it is for you. I'm an old guy, but every party song back in my day, it began with Coolin' the Gang, right? And so we were like, celebrate good times, come on, right? So we had that going on, and maybe you're younger, and so you have a Montel Jordan, right? And you're like, this is how we do it. I always feel compelled to Cabbage Patch when I hear that song, all right? And so you got that going on. But the Psalms have songs of celebration and of praise. I'll read for you Psalm 34, verse 1. This is the party jam. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. It's the pump-up song. It's a song of celebration and praise. There's a theologian way back in the day, a man by the name of G.K. Chesterton. And Chesterton said this quote, and I thought it was so profound. He says, the worst moment for an atheist is when he is really thankful and has no one to thank. Isn't that true? It's like, man, moments when we celebrate and we're so grateful to God. Isn't it great that we can turn to him and we can sing psalms of thanksgiving and of praise? Get this. There's also psalms of cursing. They're called imprecatory psalms. And listen, it's crazy. Like, these are psalms, when you read them, they're cursing other people, and at times just angry with God. But listen, once again, we have these kind of songs today, don't we? Like cursing psalms. Are you kidding me? It's basically any song written by Taylor Swift. Come on, ladies, sing it with me. We are never, ever, ever getting back together, right? And so there's psalms of cursing. But I remember, you know, growing up in the 90s, the airwaves were filled with these songs of cursing and of rage. it was like there was this generation of young people that had this angst, this rage in their soul. And so rock groups like Nirvana and Pearl Jam, like when they would just hit the heavy metal and the drums and just rage to music, there was something cathartic, something that a generation resonated with. And so we see that Psalms of cursing. But get this, listen, I don't care any lyric by Nirvana or Pearl Jam or whatever rage band you want to point out, it will look like a love ballad compared to some of the imprecatory psalms we read in the Bible. You ready for this one? Psalm 137, verses 8 and 9. The psalms, this is a lyric set to music. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. What? Did you read that? Like, we're going to take your kids and bash them against the stones. And like, that's in the Bible. And they put music to it and sang a song about it. And so while it may sound like madness, can I just help us out a little bit today? Like, see, what happens is the Psalms is going to allow us to reconcile what we know to be true about God, but what we experience in real life in a broken Genesis 3 world. And so we can deny the fact that aren't things that moments where we're frustrated, we're filled with anger, even rage. And then what do you do with it? Like, do you just mash it down into your heart and just kind of keep it there? Like, we've seen that before, haven't we? And it just becomes what? A ticking time bomb. And that thing's going to go off who knows where. Or do we just give free will to our frustration and our rage and just spew it on our friends and our family? How's that going to go for you? Right? You don't do these things. But how good is God that we can come to him and we can take all the anger and the frustration and we can pour them out to Almighty God, the one who loves us, the one who can handle it. And then what? He frees us and lifts us from that rage so we can go on and we can live our life. And so, and then last but not least is this one, the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent. And so these are actually road trip songs. I don't know if you have your road trip jams, like Susan and I, this is what we do. Like when we go on trips or whatever, we'll just play like iTunes roulette. And so it'll happen. I'll pick a song and then she'll pick a song. I'll pick a song and she'll pick a song. And we just try to outdo each other with each little song. And so it's our little thing to get us through kind of the road trip. And in the same way, did you know that the Jews, that they had to make three pilgrimages to Jerusalem three times a year? And so what they would do if they had a collection of psalms in Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, and they would go through their playlist and they would sing them these psalms of ascent as they ascended to the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's located some 3,800 feet above sea level. And so they were literally going up. But as they do, the psalms would begin to pick up in tempo and intensity, and you can feel it. In fact, do you remember Jesus on the triumphal entry? Do you remember? It's just thumping and bumping, and they're just going, Hosanna to God in the highest, right? And it's getting so out of control that the Pharisees are like, hey, you better pump the brakes and tell these guys to quiet down. And what does Jesus say? He says, if they stop singing, the rocks are going to cry out. In other words, we are playing this song, man. And so it got pumping and jumping, and these are psalms of ascent. In fact, I was just moved by a song of ascent. We had my wife and I, who never go to movies, we decided to go to Top Gun. We figured if it takes 36 years for a sequel to come out, we should probably go see it. And so we went to one of those theaters where it had the recliners and all that kind of stuff. And man, this Dolby sound, it was just popping the whole time. And I looked over to my wife during one of the flying sequences, and she was like going back and forth like she's flying the plane, right? And I remember the movie end, and for the record, thumbs up, okay? But the movie ended, and we were about to leave. And as the credits were rolling, the soundtrack came on. And it was the song by Lady Gaga, all right? And it was called Hold My Hand. And I don't know if you've heard this song, but it's amazing. It starts real slow, like, hold my hand, Everything's gonna be okay. Something like that, okay? She said it makes it sound much cooler than like that. And it starts real soft and sweet, but you can feel it beginning to build and to build and to build. And as we're watching this on the screen, suddenly it bursts out. A boom, but cry tonight. And then what, everything kicks in, and then Tom Cruise takes off in an F-18, man, and it's incredible. You can just feel it. It explodes with song. And so that's the Psalms of Ascent, and we do it today. And so this morning, we're going to be in Psalm 57. It's a Psalm of David, a Psalm that David pens and he sings, and he finds refuge in a cave. And remember this, it's going to transform a place of sorrow into a source of strength. And remember, there's three things that he's going to do. He's going to get to Jesus, he's going to get perspective, and he's going to go on the offensive. And so let's look at this. Point number one, that listen, you have to learn to get to Jesus. David knew, when in moments of chaos, when my life is unraveling, I need to get to Jesus. And so he goes to the cave of Adullam, the place of refuge. Psalm 57, in verse 1, it says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." And so I need to ask you this morning, where do you run for refuge when your life is unraveling? Like when chaos is taking place into your life, where do you run for refuge? Like David knew, I'm going to run and find refuge in the cave of Adullam and find my solace in song, right? And it was in those moments that he met with God and was fortified. Notice too that Jesus, when chaos was in his life, what did he do? He ran to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was in that moment, what? He met with God. That Moses, he would run to the tent of meeting. He would meet with God and come out filled with strength. That even Adam, in the Garden of Eden, it says he would meet with God in the cool of the day. And so when chaos is breaking out in your life, do you know where to go to get to Jesus? Like some of you, man, I know you go from chaos to cannabis, right? Or you go from chaos maybe to Coors. Some of us, we go from chaos to cookies, and others from chaos to cable, right? And so I don't know what it is, but here's what I do know. While those things might give you momentary relief, it can't fortify you and strengthen you to find your strength in Jesus. And so where do you go for refuge? Because you got to get to Jesus. David knew, I got to go from chaos to the cave. And so where do you go to find God, to meet with God? In fact, the Apostle Paul, he has this famous line in the book of Philippians. We all know it. He says this, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But what's fascinating is, do you know, it more literally reads like this, I can do all things in Christ. See, Paul knew this, that when chaos is taking place in my life, I know I got to get to Jesus. I got to get Jesus in me and me in Jesus. And so many of you will remember this date, July 21st, 1969, that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, they became the first men to walk on the moon. But here's a little backstory. I don't know if you were familiar with this, that Buzz Aldrin, that he was a devout follower of Jesus Christ. And he asked the NASA officials that before he walked on the moon, he would like to take a moment to take communion or the Lord's Supper. Before he took one step on the moon, he knew, I had to get to Jesus. And after taking the Lord's Supper, he read John chapter 15 and verse 5. And it says this, I am the vine, you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See, Buzz Aldrin knew, before I set foot on the moon, I got to get to Jesus. And so do you, and so do I. And so, number one, get to Jesus. Number two, you got to get perspective. Like David got perspective. You know, in one of David's other psalms, in Psalm 73, I believe it's a psalm that you and I will really resonate with. Because there's been moments in my life, I scratch my head and I'm like, God, Why is this wicked guy prospering? Why are these evil people being blessed and healthy? And then your people that are trying to follow you, man, they're struggling or poor or whatever it might be. Have you ever asked that question before? No? Never mind. Me neither. See, David asked that question. But then in Psalm 73, it goes on and he says this, "But then I went to the house of the Lord and I understood their end." Did you catch that? It's like David, he got perspective. He was able to pull back and realize, oh my gosh, these wicked people that don't know Jesus, man, they have no hope, that they're constantly vulnerable and afraid. Why? Because, man, they don't have Jesus in their life. And so David was able to get perspective. He gets it here in Psalm 57, verses 2 and 3. David says, "I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me." Selah. Selah just means to stop and consider that. He says, "God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness." I don't know. Did you see that? Like David, in his chaos, he pulls back and he gets perspective. And he's like this, man, God has a purpose in this. That God has provided for me in the past, and he's going to provide for me today. He got perspective. So there's this thing that theologians, they recognize with the original sin of Adam and Eve. They say this, that man experienced the incurvature of the soul. In other words, like our eyes have been designed to be on God and other people. But with sin, as we rebelled against God, our eyes moved inward. And in fact, theologians say that it is as if our souls caved in upon themselves. And I don't know if you've ever done this. Like, listen, we live our life now on Zoom and social media. And have you ever done these, like been on one of these Zoom calls and you can see yourself? And it's unbelievably unnerving because you see yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, you notice everything that's wrong. Or if you've ever had your device and you flip it so it's facing you, the camera lens. And then what happens? Like when you turn it in on yourself, you're aware of everything that's wrong with you, right? And suddenly your world shrinks and gets very, very small. And so I don't know about you, but when my eyes are turned in on myself, it's exhausting. Man, I'm wondering like, how do I look? What do they think about me? What am I doing wrong, right? And all these different things. But when we get our eyes up on God and other people, it's unbelievably freeing. If you don't believe me, I'll do you this way. Do you ever pay attention? Where do you go for rest? Like on vacations and whatnot, like we go to find rest. And where do we always go to? We go to mountains and oceans. What these big and beautiful places. And in those big and beautiful spaces that we look at, suddenly what? Our souls find rest. And so that's why the psalmist will continually say, "Magnify the Lord with me." Because as God gets big and beautiful, our souls begin to find rest in God, right? And so get perspective. And here's number three, is we need to get on the offensive. Get on the offensive. And so I was reading a book by Ken Harrison. He's now the head over Promise Keepers Ministries. And Ken Harrison, in his book, Rise of the Servant Kings, there was this hilarious story he told about his wife. She was receiving, some of these scam IRS calls where they try to get money from you and whatnot. Well, here's what's great. Instead of just being a victim, she went on the offensive. Because as this IRS scammer was on here trying to get money from her, she flipped it on him and she says, "Why are you doing this? Like, you're harming people. Why are you doing this?" And then the IRS, the phony IRS guy wasn't having it, so click, he hangs up. Well, she wasn't done because day after day after day, she went on the offensive and called those scammers back again and again and again until finally someone picked up and she asked, "Why are you doing this?" And the man on the other end replied, "Because I'm a wicked man." And she just unmoved, she said this, "Do you know what? Jesus died for wicked men, and he died for a man like you." She preached the gospel, and right there on the spot, that man gave his heart to Jesus. She went on the offensive, And notice this, that David, amidst the chaos, he's going to now go on the offensive. Psalm 57, verse 8 and 9, that David says, "Awake, my glory, awake. O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." David, he went on the offensive. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Martin Lloyd-Jones, just a phenomenal theologian. I love what he says. He says that we need to stop listening to ourselves and start speaking to ourselves, right? Because when we just listen to ourselves, there's lies and words of doubt and unbelief, of fear and what if. But if we start speaking to ourselves, suddenly now we're on the offensive and now we're painting the picture on the canvas of our life. And so you know that Jesus did this. If you pay attention in the Gospel of John, Jesus has these seven I am statements. You'll recognize them. Jesus will say this, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd." All these I am statements. And I want to encourage you, man, let's you and I be like Jesus. Do you know that each and every morning I have my own personal I am statements? And so I confess these each and every morning on my time in prayer. Why? Because I don't want to listen to myself. I'm going to speak to myself. And so I'll say this. I am wise. All the wisdom of God dwells inside of me by the Holy Spirit. I am a man of prayer. My prayers avail much with God. I am a man of faith. I have everything I need to do all God's called me to do. I am anointed, empowered, equipped, called by God to preach and teach the gospel and to lead leaders. I am a creative, innovative, visionary leader. I lead well because I keep in step with the Holy Spirit who leads me. And I see well because the word of God is a light and a lamp to my feet. And I will win today because Christ is in me and God is for me. See, you need to speak to yourself and stop listening to yourself. And so to David, he took a place of sorrow and turned it into a source of strength. And he did it this way, by getting to Jesus, getting perspective, and going on the offensive. And so will you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of gathering together in your name. And Lord, I sense that there's just people are in a place of chaos. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give them grace. Lord, to find their refuge in you. God, may they have a safe space where they know that they can meet with Jesus. Lord, I pray as well, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would give us perspective to see all that's good and right in our life. And lastly, Lord, give us the courage and the grace to go on the offensive, to speak life over ourselves and into other people in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, listen, God bless you, every nation. The sermon's over, but I got one other quick thing, and that is this. I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and in your giving. I think a lot of us would resonate that with rising inflation and the economy, and it can create this kind of fear and anxiety towards finances. But here's what I know, is I know that God promises that as we're faithful in our tithing, in our giving, he promised two things. He would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a great blessing for his faithful people. In this, he would also rebuke the devourer on our behalf. And so I want to encourage you. You can remain faithful in your tithing and giving. There's three ways you can give here at Every Nation New Jersey. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. If you simply text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. It's a very convenient way to give. Or you can go old school. You can mail a check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly and abundantly bless you as you give. Have a great week, every nation. Jesus loves you, and I think you're pretty amazing too.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.